have my very first guest, and I'm so, so excited that he is my first guest for Small Town Expectations. His name is Andrew Eccles, and I'm just really excited that you're here, Andrew.
I'm excited to be here. So, it's a good time.
Thank you. For whenever that, I think we had coffee just a couple weeks ago, and I was like, hey, dude, I finally have started recording, and I'm so excited about it. And then I was like, hey, you want to be on my podcast? And you were like, yeah. Oh, I think your response was, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, awesome. So I'm really excited about it. So just starting off, tell everyone just a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Andrew. I'm 17. I'm a senior at Farmington High School. I like to make music and praise Jesus, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, you're an incredible musician.
Thanks.
Okay, so just a little bit about Andrew and I's history. I was Andrew's, I was his youth minister. I'm like, what's that word? I was his youth minister a lot of years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was my freshman year in high school.
2 years ago. I've almost been working for SAS for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2 years ago, full-time, your youth minister. And that was fun, mm-hmm. right? We went through some trials together. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm so excited to still be in your life and get to see you graduate mm-hmm. and go to college. Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Thank you.
So that's our history. But tell us a little bit about how long you've been living in this small town of Farmington.
Since the day I was born. Always.
Okay. So you're 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And next you're going to go to Las Cruces, mm-hmm. which isn't a terribly bigger town,
nah.
but it's bigger.
Oh, it's bigger.
Right?
There are interstates, and I've never really driven on the interstate, so
yes.
That's a little intimidating.
On-ramps, off-ramps, that uh-huh. kind of stuff.
No clue how that works. No clue.
Oh, shoot!
Yeah, I've literally never driven on an interstate.
Yeah, so. You'll figure it out quick.
I'll be fine.
Acceleration.
Acceleration.
That's You're key. Right. Acceleration. Right. So you live in Farmington, and there's not a lot to do in Farmington. Oh, so no. Tell us, as a 17-year-old, what that's like for you.
Well, it's not that fun. I get home from school, and I do my homework, but there's nothing to do. So I just kind of, like, sit around or, like, talk to my friends that are still in school or doing whatever. There's a lot of stuff for children and families, which is really nice, but there's kind of this wall that starts around people, like, the time people are in middle school or high school, where there's just, like, nothing from the community, I guess, for us to do. And so that leads to a lot of people starting trouble, and, like, it's really sad, like, seeing my friends, like, party hard and like be alcoholics before they can even buy alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it's really frustrating, like not just being bored all the time, literally all the time.
Yeah. So I know that for you, you have really good friends here in mm-hmm. Farmington, right? I know that that's true. But I also know that you are really good at your online presence.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about some of your experience just on being friends with other people online.
Well, I've had it pretty easy, I guess. I don't know what you, like.
You have friends from, yeah. like, from lots of different places.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I found that it's a lot easier to make friends online
mm-hmm.
because you can just kind of, like, I don't know. You can be more authentic, I guess. Not necessarily more authentic, but it's easier to be. And, I don't know, it's cool getting to, like, meet people from, like, bigger places or places that have different culture and, like, getting to understand the world more, I guess.
Yeah. So whenever you're communicating with people online, you're asking them questions like, how do you navigate this situation and mm-hmm. getting kind of advice and stuff like
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's unique to us living in a small town, is
yeah.
that you can have really great friends here in this mm-hmm. small town, in Farmington.
Right.
People that care about you, people that you care about, and,
yeah.
you know, all mm-hmm. all of the in-between. But then, because there's just not a lot of stuff to do, like you said,
right.
you have to look other places. And that means
yeah.
you go online. right? And you and you just chat with people online.
Right.
And that's kind of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Which is, that's unique.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
And I think that you're a unique person to, first of all, be the first guest. But then there's going to be other people on this podcast telling their story. Mm-hmm. And their story is going to be so much different because they don't know how to use the internet.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I got so friends online is much different for them than friends online is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was getting at.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. It's a lot easier for me to form like really close like relationships with people online because it's also like easier to find common interests, I guess, because when you've been growing up with the same people and there's, you know, you meet everybody and there's, you know, there's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah.
And you kind of get sick of seeing everybody, you know.
And then what happens? They go off to college.
They go off to college and then it's kind of like you'll see them at Christmas, but maybe. Yeah. But,
and you can promise that you're going to stay close with somebody.
But you won't.
Yeah. Not always. You do.
Rarely. You're right. But it's hard.
It is very hard. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about coming out. What does that mean for you?
It was tough. Like, coming out in a really conservative community is really hard. I was very blessed to have loving and supportive parents and, like, friends and family and church family, but coming out like at school was really tough because I'm just kind of thrown in there with a whole bunch of redneck cowboys, like Trump train every day, you know.
Yay.
That's terrifying.
It's exciting.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
And like I came out when I was a junior, and like that was really hard because everyone had known me like since kindergarten, and so it was really tough doing that. It was really intimidating.
Yeah.
Because also another thing about living in a small town is everybody talks to everybody. And
right.
So if you tell one person something, it's going to end up all the way like back around.
Right.
So that was very scary. That was a big fear of mine when I came out.
So can you talk a little bit about what the process for you was?
Yeah. I came out to a couple of my really close friends and I stayed out to like two or three people for quite a long time. Then I came out to you actually, and then I came out to a couple other friends, a couple online friends, and then I just got to a point where I was so sick of having to be like one person with my close friends and one person with everybody else that I was like, you know what, like screw it, this is gonna suck, but I gotta do it. And
yeah.
So I came out to my parents through a letter, and then I just kind of bit the bullet and made a Facebook post because I don't know what else you're supposed to do in 2017, you know. So, I don't know what year it was. 2016,
It was 2016.
2016. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. I remember waking up and seeing that post and going, and then just started weeping.
Oh.
It was, because it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
I was so proud of you.
Oh.
And it was just that thing that I know was, I mean, you and I talked about it a bajillion times.
Right.
Like, tell me what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you know, how do I make this easy for you? How do I, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
And so I just remember seeing it and be like, I'm just so proud of him.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It,
really.
It.
Yeah. Do you mind talking about your identity?
No, not at all. I'm a trans male, so I like take testosterone and like use he/him pronouns and stuff. My sexuality is so ambiguous that I don't define it, but it's just an upside down question mark, I guess.
That's okay.
But yeah.
Cool. So, how did your parents, you know, take the news of hearing that you don't identify as the sex that you were born as or the gender that the doctor said you were? How about that?
And
then you come out to them and you go, hey, mom, dad, I'm a boy. And they're like, what?
Ooh, okay. That was...
That was such a good Angie voice. Okay.
Okay. So I like wrote this letter and I put it on my parents' bed and I went to bed because I didn't want to have to confront them. And my mom brought it up to me the next morning and was like, so this is some news, huh? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And she didn't tell my dad for like a couple of days because like my, bless him, you know, but they're supportive. My parents are a little bit older than most parents of people my age. And so they don't really know any trans people. And so it was really hard for them to kind of like wrap their brain around it. But once they did, they, you know, supported me and continue to support me through it all. So.
Yeah. Which is so cool.
Yeah, I'm so grateful. Yeah. I'm so grateful.
And I think that, you know, this whole, we live in a small town, what's our experience, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. But I think that you have incredible parents mm-hmm. who, it wasn't easy for them.
No.
And I think that people look at them and go, wow, you this was easy for you guys. But I don't think it was. I just think they're incredible people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think they really relied on God through all that, you know, and that's the only way that they, not necessarily got through, but, you know, like, did what they needed to do is because they relied on God so much through all of it, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about you and your relationship with God. Like, what does that look like? What did that look like then, 2 years ago when you came out to the world? Mm-hmm. And then what does it look like now?
Coming out, so the church I was going to at the time was absolutely terrifying because they're refugees from a Baptist church, and so they're a little more right than left, I guess, and the pastor had preached repeatedly on why being gay was wrong, and I was terrified, and it was really scary, and that hindered my relationship with God totally because I was scared of God, you know, because I was scared of, like, my church, and I was scared to, like, jump into a full relationship because I was being told that, like, God wouldn't love me for who I am and that, like, no matter what I did, it wouldn't be enough. And that was so scary. And so I held back a lot. But I grew and I found close friends that were kind of going through the same thing. And I relied heavily on my youth pastor at the time, Brandy Wright. And I don't know, I just became more comfortable, I guess, with who I am and understanding that my relationship with God isn't, like, dictated by anybody else. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Thanks.
I mean, I think I knew that, but to hear you actually say it, you know, mm-hmm. is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So what about, New Covenant, right? I'm going to name drop New Covenant because it is...
Name drop New Covenant.
Yeah. It's an inclusive church that is welcoming to any people, any gender, any identity, any sexual mm-hmm. orientation. I think that it's fair to say that it is a very friendly church.
Oh, it's so friendly.
With open arms. Mm-hmm. And it's not a place where you can walk into and go, there's going to be somebody who stares at me. No. Mm. Those people left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think those people left years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so now it is very inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so special about it.
Yeah.
And so talk a little bit just about having a church family that is really loving and caring.
Yeah, I think having a church family, so, like, as loving and caring as New Cove, like, saved my faith. I wholeheartedly believe that, because it just felt so nice to know that, like, there were other Christians that, like, thought being gay was okay, or, like, any of that, you know? And so, I don't know, it's really refreshing, you know, after being in several churches that are, like, I don't know, and so, I don't know, New Covenant has helped me so much.
Yeah.
So much. Just having, like, a safe place to go to all the time, you know, whenever I need it, and knowing that it's, like, going to stay a safe place, you know?
Yeah, and it's not a place where you as Andrew are, people are like, oh, of course he's welcome, but he can't lead. No, you literally lead worship on Saturday nights.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so you're a leader in that church, mm-hmm. and you literally bring people to worship and in a place and in a space where people are open to hear God and open to experience what the Lord has for them, all mm-hmm. of those things. And I think right. that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
it's good stuff.
And you haven't ever stopped.
No.
So even back in the day, mm-hmm. You were still one of my leaders, right? You've always been, like, for me personally in my ministry, you've always been one of my leaders. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to you moving into different roles and things like that. Now you're leading on a Saturday night service where there's, you know, anywhere from 40 to 100 people. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And people trust you. P.S. Yeah. You know, not anybody can stand up on that stage and be trusted to lead them into a place like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool.
Thanks. I think it's cool. Yeah. I'm very lucky to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah. So you literally experienced both sides of the spectrum. Uh-huh. The one side of being like, every single week, I'm going to hear somebody preach about how disgusting I am and mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the other side was, hey, man, lead and be you and mm-hmm. love us because we want that.
Right.
Like we love you, but you got, like, love us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's of course.
Both sides of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the craziest part that I was getting one on Saturday night and then the complete opposite on Sunday morning. And so sometimes it would work out where the sermons at New Covenant would completely reflect the sermons from, like, my Sunday morning church. And so it was always fun to play, like, to make a Venn diagram of sermons sometimes.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It was so, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, my favorite, there was a time where you were texting me sometimes on Sunday mornings, like, hey, Brandy, did you know? And I just... SMH, man. SMH. I am so sorry you're sitting there right now.
Yeah.
So.
It's gnarly stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and it's just, it's just the interpretation that people read into scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a whole nother tangent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you also just experienced, let's rewind. Talk about Identity Inc. So Identity Inc. is a place that you're really involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been going to their like teen support group for about 2 years now, and I've been pretty active in a lot of their volunteer stuff and like Pride Week organizing things, and I've gone to all their events that I've like been in town for and stuff, and they've really helped me. They've been such a like a tight community to just always like just like New Cove to always fall back on, and It's been so nice. It's so nice. And I really appreciate everything Identity has done.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me and for my friends, too.
Do you feel like the other... So you go to the teen support group.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have been a key just person? Like a, you know, like kind of mm-hmm. a good voice for other trans folk and other just queer kids who go to that group?
I think so, yeah. I've been going to the group for the longest of... like anybody else, and I've helped like plan a lot of things, and I don't know.
Do you think kids look up to you?
I think so. I hope so. I hope that I'm a good role model.
So Trevor is sitting in here and he just pointed to himself. So yeah, no, I think that I'm gonna say yes, that people definitely look up to you, and you're somebody that people look to and go, I feel comfortable talking to him or, you know, asking questions or whatever that is. Mm. And also I know the person that leads that group trusts you in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, trusts what you have to say in a lot of ways. So first of all, you're one of the older students in there, and also, you know, you're a trustworthy person. So that's good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about Gay Prom.
Gay Prom was so much fun. we decided that it was kind of a bummer as a teen group that none of us could go to prom, and so we figured we should just make our own. And so we, like, spent a bunch of time planning this cool this prom at Identity Inc., and the theme was the gay 1980s in space. And so there was a lot of neon and
could
aliens.
It get any more obscure?
No, not any. No, we tried. My thinking, at least, was that we had to combine as many, like, prom themes, like, common prom themes into one.
Yeah.
So it was the Gaydies in space.
Nice!
So, yeah, it was a good time.
So I want you to talk a little bit more about how you and your friends couldn't go to prom. So, again, we live in a very conservative place, so...
Yeah, it's... going to school dances with a significant other that is, like, the same gender is absolutely terrifying because, like my classmates like to talk smack, and so it's, like, really scary because, like, I don't know. It's just, like, being judged by your peers is awful, and it's never fun, and so having... just, like, being out and, like, being in such a visible place and having to be out is so scary, and I know that, like, I don't think violence would ever be an issue, but, like, high schoolers are judgmental and mean, and it's hard to feel safe in an environment where you know your peers are gonna be judging your every single move, you know?
Yeah. How did people in your school respond when you came out? Not just online, but once you started really dressing masculine and once mm-hmm. you started really passing more as mm-hmm. masculine, how did people at school respond to that?
Some people were cool and supportive. Some people were not. I think one thing I learned that my least favorite is when people are, like, supportive, but they're like support comes across as nosiness. And so I had a lot of like, because I was kind of like one of the first trans people to like be out and like transition in like my class, people had questions. And so I felt like I was the ambassador for every transgender human being on this planet. Yeah. And so, also I guess people don't know that like privacy exists. And so questions got fun sometimes in class and
too much.
Yeah. And it like, I get that they're trying to learn, and most people were like genuine and not just like poking fun, but still it's like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I don't mind doing that, but like, it's just hard. Like, it's exhausting being trivialized sometimes, you know?
Yeah. You also don't have to be the educator for every person in Farmington.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I also recognize that I can't speak for all trans people. Like, my experiences are completely different from everyone else's, you know? I mean, yeah, sure, there are going to be similarities, but, like, I can't speak for everybody.
Absolutely. So. That's important.
And it's exhausting trying to explain that I can't speak for everybody, but then, like, still having to give these, like, black and white mm-hmm. answers so people will just, like, shut up and mind their own business, you know? It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So, are you still experiencing that? So here's my experience. We go into schools and we teach healthy relationships, and we talk about LGBT stuff, and we talk about stereotypes and that kind of thing, which always, and students are so funny because, so there was a time, my hair's really short now and I'm growing it out, but there was a time where half of it was shaved and it's all different colors, and students would always really stare at me and then we give them these sticky notes and we're like, you can write any question that you want. And almost at every school in sometimes multiple classes, people would be like, what's Brandy's sexuality? Or is Brandy? Aww. Yeah. But then always, you know, and I was pretty open about it. I am pretty open about it. And there's always a trans kid at every school who says, I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to talk to my friends or my family about this. And they're just scared, you know? And so I always, in a very broad sort of not even looking at who I know wrote that question, give these answers like, hey, I'm a safe person. If you need to talk to me one-on-one, like, come and let's chat. And a lot of students do, or a lot of students will see me in the hall and be like, hey, all because I just recognize that they are, you know, that they prefer he, him, or that they prefer she, her. And that's not what their other students do for them. And that's not what teachers do for them. And so I do imagine that there's students at your school who see you and are just an envious one, and also admire you. And so do you get students like passing you notes who are like, you know, how do I talk to my parents? Anything like that?
Not really. No. I've like helped out some kids like at identity, like just like normal support group stuff, but I don't really know any other trans kids at my school.
Holy like, crap. I like, know, like, really? Three other ones.
I mean, in my defense, I'm at school for, like, 3 hours a day.
That's true.
And all my classes are in the same classroom, so. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I know a couple, like, two, maybe, but I don't know any, like, younger ones.
And they're not out. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they're not out.
And they can't, because they're not safe.
Right,
they
exactly.
don't feel safe. So.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the difference.
Yeah.
You felt like you were in a safe spot where you could talk to people. And also you were just fed up. You needed to be Andrew.
Right.
And you didn't need to just be Andrew to a couple people. You needed to be Andrew to everyone.
Right.
And that was the safest it was going to be for you. And if I'm talking for you, please stop me.
No, you're good.
And I think that's so cool that you finally found yourself in that spot. But I still think, and tell me if I'm wrong, that people had a hard time, you know, moving from.
Oh, yeah, it was hard.
And a little bit combative sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. It was just unreasonable sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just because, like, Farmington is small and conservative, like, people don't talk about, like, being queer at all. And so, like, just being kind of put in the spotlight like that, it's so intimidating and, like, it's stressful and it, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's awful.
How did you handle people who were not nice?
I just kind of, like, smiled and nodded because I knew that was going to keep me the safest. Because if I, like, if I were to speak out and, like, protect myself, that's, like, that's a reason to get hit, you know? And yeah. So if I can just smile and be like, yeah, you know what? Like, I think you're right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, thank you. Like, I'll pray for you. Like, and so I
don't meanwhile, you're going, I'll pray for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you for praying for me. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, I can't. So I don't know. I've never really, like, confronted anybody because I don't want to get killed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to know, I think that if there's trans people, trans folk out there who are listening and who look to you and go, wow, that's really cool. And like, I admire that. Or I really look up to how courageous this young person has been. I think that it's important to know that you knew when it was safe.
Yeah.
And you know when you're not safe.
Yeah.
It's not just about announcing it to America because it's not safe.
Right. Yeah, I think something that I've, like, held very close to myself is, like, to my heart is always, like, testing the waters, always. Because, like, you never really know, but it's, you know, if that makes sense. Like, you can always tell when it's not a good time or when it's, like, just you shouldn't, you're not safe, you know?
Right. And that's
also one of those small town things, I guess. It's just you grow to, like, feeling, you know, like, you feel that out all the time and you don't even mean to, you know?
Yeah, and it's just something that you've been accustomed to.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Will you graduate soon?
So soon.
What is the thing that you were looking the most forward to?
Oh, getting out of here. Sorry to be so plain. No,
it's good. It's
getting
good.
Out of Farmington.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've never lived anywhere else, and so I think it's going to be cool to experience some new kinds of crazy and meet new people and, I don't know, just be somewhere different and grow on my own. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to be an adult. I'm cool. So ready.
Yeah. So what are you, you're going to what college?
New Mexico State University.
Yes.
In Las Cruces.
Which is so cool. Mm. Go Aggies.
Go Aggies. Guns up.
Yeah, guns up. What are you
sorry.
What are you looking forward to at college?
Oh, this is going to be super lame, but the schoolwork, I'm so excited to,
that
like...
That was lame.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
I'm so excited to learn things and to, I don't know, I'm just excited to learn because, I don't know, it's going to be cool. There's so much, I don't even know what to expect, and that is the most exciting part is because I know that I'm just going to be so, like, excited with whatever I come across.
Cool.
And schoolwork is fun.
have you decided on a major?
Yeah, social work.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you plan to do with social work?
I think long term I would really like to kind of make a community center that kind of like parallels Identity Inc. but also has like a, I don't know, kind of like a shelter aspect to it. Okay. That way there are like for, like, queer kids that come out and are rejected, they have, like, a safe place that they can stay if they're, like, kicked out for whatever reason or just anything like that.
Yeah.
Just, like, a safe place, but also, like, I don't know. I just want to go the extra mile, I guess, and reach out.
That's awesome. So in, like, 6 years when you're almost finished with your master's degree, we're going to come back and listen to this, and you're going to be like, okay, like...
So this is what I want.
No, and you can reflect on this and be like... Because I think that's incredibly ambitious of you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's very needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just think that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to move back to a small town, a.k.a. Farmington, or do you want to live... What do you imagine yourself doing?
That's a tricky question, because I don't want to ever live in a small place like Farmington ever again. But I know that if I want to do social work, especially, like, focused on queer people, I'm going to have to be somewhere like kind of small and like kind of rural because I know that I don't want to, but I think I might end up doing so to do my job efficiently.
Yeah. Cool. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share with the people?
I think that's about it.
Yeah. You have such a great story, Andrew.
Thank you.
And I'm excited to still be in your life, and I'm probably going to cry because yes, what I do. but really, like, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I just think of the days that were really tough.
You know? No, don't cry, Brandy.
But seriously, like, you're about to graduate, and you were one of my first freshmen. Mm-hmm. You were in my first freshman group, and now you're graduating, and you're this incredible human that I just admire a lot.
Thank you.
And I think you've been through a lot of shit. You know, like, there's no other way to say it.
Right.
And you have just come through so much, and I'm proud of you. And
thank you.
I'm excited to see all of the cool things that you're going to do and the other cool things you're going to experience. And listen, some of them are going to be tough, but so many of them are going to be really, really cool, you know, and just kind of beautiful.
I'm excited. Well, thank you.
Can you just promise me, and it's recording, so it's out into the world forever.
Okay.
Promise me that you're not going to forget about me.
I promise I won't forget about Brandy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Speaking of which, my graduation announcement should come in the mail sometime today.
Yes!
So I can mail you one.
Okay,
for
sweet.
Sure if you want.
Did you get pictures?
I did.
Nice.
I did get pictures.
So. Okay, cool. Well, I'm really excited for that.
All right.
Well, thank you for being my first guest.
Well, thanks for having me.
And happy days, everyone. We will be back here in a week. I don't know who the next guest is going to be. It's going to be a fun surprise. So tune in again in a week, and let's see what other kind of stories we can tell on Small Town Expectations. Thanks for listening.